Dear friends, turn to that passage in the Word of God, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And the verses that I want to leave before you this morning are verses 31 through to 35 that we read together. And oh, that God would give us a view of Calvary, view of the cross, and Christ crucified in this word that we have been reading this morning. Do we want to see what Jesus Christ did? In what way he suffered? What did he fulfill? What was he doing? Why did he come into this world? When, dear friends, we come to the crucifixion, this scene, we enter the most holy place of the history of Christianity and the history of our redemption, the history of what it is to be saved and to have forgiveness of sins. Here, dear friends, is our salvation. That's how it was bought. Here you have the description, is the source of heaven. You want to know how to arrive safely in heaven? This is where you begin, at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is how sinners can come to God and receive eternal life, through what took place and what Christ suffered. So the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was already, it was already pictured, it was already foretold throughout the Bible. From the beginning, it was foretold that the Savior would come, that the Messiah would be sent by God, and he would suffer, and he would die for our sins. And we shall look into that a little later on. Dear friends, in all the days of Israel, the most important and the most solemn day, as you may well know, was the Day of Atonement. It was the only day in the year on which the high priest entered the most holy place in the temple. It was a bloody day in the sense that much blood was shed, and that blood was taken into the temple by the priest and offered up to God. Before the high priest approached the most holy place, that mysterious room in the temple, he had to do what the law of God had commanded, what the Bible had commanded, to put away his expensive clothing. He was wearing some special clothing. And he was to then clothe himself from head to foot in a plain white linen dress. Then he would take the vessel with the blood of the lamb in his hand, and he would go forward. He would then draw back the veil, that curtain of the most holy place, to approach the throne of grace, to approach the throne of God, the mercy seat, which was one of the central furnishings. So you go through the curtain, and what you see is the mercy seat there. And he would sprinkle the atoning blood upon the mercy seat. That's what happened on the Day of Atonement. It was a very serious and very important, the most important day of the year for the Jews. Then that high priest would have come out to the people, and in Jehovah's name, he announced grace and forgiveness. He announced the benediction to every person that was repentant. Now, dear friends, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it's recorded in Matthew's Gospel and other Gospels, is the final fulfillment of that Day of Atonement. It's the final fulfillment. The Day of Atonement is not repeated again. Oh, the Jews still try to keep it somehow, but it's without meaning. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has already suffered and died once, and he will not do that again. Jesus Christ is called the great high priest of all those who trust in him, all sinners. He can be your high priest. And the Bible says he's the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So what we want to do this morning is to go with the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk with him as he goes to be crucified, to be amongst those people who are walking up and see what happens to the Lord Jesus. And there are two points that I have for you this morning. First, it is the road to the cross. And secondly, the scene of Calvary. Road to the cross and the scene of Calvary. So think of this, dear friends. Let's first of all enter that road to the cross. I want you to imagine yourself as one of those who were in the crowd, mingling with them and going toward the place of execution, the place where they are going to put him to death. And you read in verse 31, you read, and after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. So they walked to the place of death. Near that area in the southwest of the city of Jerusalem was that valley. It was a horrible place. It was called the Valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, which once upon a time was filled daily with the blood of human sacrifices. In the sad times when the children of Israel had stopped trusting in Jehovah and had given themselves to idolatry, they began to sacrifice their own children to the idol Moloch. And that was the place they used to go. Imagine that, burning your own children alive and slaughtering them alive. And that place was always a negative place in people's minds as these newborn babies and children were being offered up. It was also the place of the burning of the refuse and the rubbish and the bodies of the criminals. It was a picture of hell. Whenever and wherever children are being sacrificed and murdered, it is a hellish thing, as the murder of the babies in the wombs of their mothers through contraception pills and devices and the process of abortion. And you think, this is what's happening today, and we haven't really moved on. There is the Gehenna in this world. There's the places where children are murdered too. And you think about this, dear friends. What a horrible scene this was. It wasn't a happy picture. And that's the place, the direction to which our Lord Jesus Christ was being led. Think about this scene. Jesus is being taken to the place of death, a place that people did not see as a good place. So think about that scene. You're walking near this place to the execution, to the killing of Jesus Christ. But what is he doing? He's going to defeat hell. That's what he's doing. He's going to defeat evil. That's what he's doing. He's not going to commit evil, but evil is being done to him so that sin would be removed. The punishment of sin would be removed from us. Dear friends, there is this place, and you can still go and see this place. The Valley of Hinnom, you can still go and see. You can look at it on the Google Maps if you want. But my friends, there is another still more dreadful Gehenna, hell itself. And let me ask you, dear friends, which one of us would have escaped it? Which one of us would have escaped hell if it wasn't that the Lord Jesus Christ submitted to suffer and to die for us? This is why his death is so important. This is why you have to understand what the gospel is. You shouldn't just have a vague notion about what the gospel is and who Jesus Christ is. There are many people today, you ask them, and they don't have a real understanding of these things. So don't hold and base your faith on vague things and maybes and ifs and buts. Jesus Christ took to himself and experienced hell on the cross. None of us could escape it. But here were these people passing by. So they led Jesus Christ away to crucify him. And as they went, they found a man named Simon. Now, see, Jesus didn't give his cross to him. They made him to bear his cross. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ takes our cross. He takes our pains, our sufferings. He takes it. And he then replaces it with his blessing and his grace upon us. People would put crosses on you, but not the Lord Jesus Christ in this sense. And friends, think on this too. That as you read in verse 32, it says, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross." And then what you find is that we reach the foot of that awful hill, in verse 33. "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha," that is to say, a place of a skull. So I want you, as you are walking in the crowd, as you are in the midst of all the hatred and the evil and the intrigue as well, there are people who are following to see what happens. Who is this? This man had a bit of a fame in the country. What will happen to him? And as you come with these people and people ridiculing and mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to look and see if anybody is showing any signs of sympathy. Anyone showing any kind of heartfelt sorrow for this suffering Savior? Yes, there are people. There are people. Matthew doesn't concentrate on that, but other Gospels, Mark and Luke and John, refer to different individuals. You can read it for yourself. When you read the other Gospels, you'll see that there are a few people, a little group who are mourning, who are upset. And who are these people? Well, we know them already. Mark tells us in Mark 15 and verses 40 and 41 that there are a group of distressed women, mourners. We are told of the woman looking afar off. We see amongst that crowd Salome, the mother of the two sons of Thunder, James and John. She was looking on. Then there was Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And then there were various other women who were also mourning and looking on. And then there was Mary Magdalene. And you can read that in Mark's Gospel. And it is the same Mary that Luke says she came weeping and anointing the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, she is weeping. And later, she weeps at the tomb. Later on the resurrection morning, she's crying. Oh, Christ was her deliverer, her savior, before she was under the power of demons. And the Lord saved her, released her from that bondage that she was in. And so Jesus had delivered her and brought her into his domain and power. And then if you look further and you read the Gospel of John for yourself, for example, you'll see Mary, the mother of our Lord. Can you imagine how this woman was feeling, seeing her son being treated like this? She must be so dejected. Her heart is broken more than all the rest. She's covering her face, is weeping. Now, there was the prophecy, wasn't there? The prophecy of Simeon is being fulfilled in her when he said to her in her younger years, years ago, about 33 and a half years before this, Simeon had said, while holding the baby Jesus in his arm, had said, "A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." And this is now being fulfilled. See, God keeps his word. And sometimes it is that it is very painful. But there's good to come from this. It's not a hopeless thing. This world, my friends, and what it promises is hopeless. It's not fulfilled. But God's word, even when it is painful to us, it brings blessing upon us. But then realize, dear friends, there's someone else. The father of our Lord. Yes, Mary sees her son going to be crucified, but the eternal father who has begotten his son, he is also seeing his only begotten son going to be sacrificed. He has to turn away his face from him. Jesus, who is now crowned with thorns, is the Father's Son. And then don't forget John, the disciple that Jesus loved. He is there too. So what a scene it is. And in the midst of all of these people who love the Lord Jesus, all this shouting and abuse and heckling. But this is the scene. This is the road to the cross. But secondly, there is then the scene of Calvary. So you've looked back on the crowd. You've walked on the road to the cross. We would come now to the scene of Calvary. Look at verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. We come to the end of this dreadful journey, and we come to a place where it looks like a great skull. And they had called it Golgotha. Or Luke refers to it as Calvary. There's this hill. They've come to the foot of it. It's a barren hill where the ground is tainted. The ground is painted with the blood of all sorts of criminals. It was a accursed spot where justice must be done. So anyone passing this place would shiver. They would shiver with horror. But this is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to. This was the place of his slaughter. The lamb is to be sacrificed upon that altar. But you see, the psalmist, about 500 years before, in Psalm 121, speaks of this. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. That's where I'm going to look, to the hills. This is the place of justice, but it is the place where we receive spiritual help. My friends, you might be weak this morning. You might be sorrowful. You might have all kinds of fears and doubts and all sorts of things going on. We are a very complex people. You must be cast down at times and filled with depression, and you don't even know what you're feeling. What's the answer? Where do you go for help? To the hill of God. You go to Calvary. You go to the cross. You go to Golgotha. For the unbeliever, it's a horrible place. But for the Christian, it's the place where our Savior demonstrated his love. This is where the earthly career of Jesus Christ ended. What was his work? What was his mission? What was his career? He came to do a work, to achieve and finish the salvation of sinful men and women and boys and girls. He came to take back those who were under the leadership and under the representation of Adam. You see, we have all been born as children of Adam. We are tainted with his sin. And we sin ourselves too. We can't blame Adam for our own personal sins. We do it ourselves, very willfully. And our children follow us, after us. But Jesus Christ came to change that, to transfer us from that family to a new family, to the family of the second Adam. So the only way, dear friends, for sinners, for you and I to be forgiven is through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the second Adam. He came to die, to suffer his Father's just punishment instead of his Father punishing us. Jesus was 33 and a half at the prime of his life, like a green and fruitful tree, the scripture says. But the axe was laid, the axe of God's justice is laid to the root of that tree, the Savior. So what should we do? We look to the Lord Jesus. That's the scene of Calvary. Jesus has already some marks on his body. Already he has been shedding his blood. It is the marks of torments. He's bleeding from head to foot. They hit him on his head with a reed. They had flogged him, his back, with a whip made of sharp bones and metal. He could barely be recognized. So this is the thing. This is the whole picture, my friends. You can't even imagine it, what the Savior suffered. No film, no actor could display this. Well, we read in Isaiah 53, it describes what the Lord Jesus was looking like. He says, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. It was such a horrible picture. People were shuddering in horror. They couldn't see. They couldn't see. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him as stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. The scene of the crucifixion, dear friends, is the second baptism of the Lord Jesus. And he said, there is a baptism that I'm to be baptized with that none of you can fulfill. It was a baptism of his own blood. Does your heart break when you think about it? Why? Why should this innocent man, why should the Son of God die for people like me? It is like a nightmare. But this is, dear friends, the only solution, the only medicine that was made for us sinners. There is no other way. You can't find another Savior like Jesus. And so what we should do, and this is the most difficult thing, we should humble ourselves. We should humble ourselves and see what Jesus Christ paid to set us free from sin, to bring us to God. Then you read in verse 34, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. These Gentile soldiers take Jesus. They offer him vinegar mingled with gall. Now, that was a potion to intoxicate his head, something to make him not feel the excruciating pain. And so when he put his lips to the cup, he would not drink it. It was already a vinegar that was affected by the gall. Why was that? Why wouldn't he drink? Why not take a little bit of the pain away? If it was you, if it was me, you would try to drain out the pain. But why? Jesus didn't take it. Because the Lord Jesus must taste death voluntarily and fully. He wants to submit to the will of his Father without distraction, fully conscious. Then the executioners, they take the Lord Jesus between them. They begin to tear his clothes off his body to put him further to shame. He's there naked. He stands naked, bleeding, uncovered, both before men and before God. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is not like Adam who hid himself behind a tree. He voluntarily goes and does it. And he said, I've not done anything in secret. Have done and said things publicly and openly. You see, why is that? Because he's that high priest. He's representing us. He's gone before us. He goes to the most holy place with his blood of the sacrificial lamb. And he must put away his clothes. He has the crown of thorns that was forced onto his head. They lay him down on the wood on which he was to bleed. And they didn't know. You see the sovereignty of God in this. You see how God was involved in this. They didn't know that they were fulfilling the words of God. They're fulfilling the words of Psalm 22, where Jesus Christ is saying, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. These bulls are around me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. All around me, these vicious people. You see, this was the dying bed of Jesus, the cross. And remember what it cost then, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. And so if you are to have peace, if you are to have joy and happiness forever, you must come and see. And you must put your trust in this person who died not for himself, but for sinners who would believe. the nails penetrate through his hands and feet, and the blood flows from it. The words of the psalmist written hundreds of years before is being fulfilled. In Psalm 22 and verse 16, we read, "They pierced my hands and my feet." It's not David's hands and feet. It's Christ's hands and feet. Oh, my friends, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Then remember, if that's the case, it was you, your sins, nailed Jesus Christ to this cross. That was the reason for his crucifixion. He wasn't dying for himself, but for us, sinners who trust in him. There is, dear friends, no help. There is no salvation in any other hand. You can try to do your best and try to be good, but it is these hands, the pierced hands of the Lord Jesus, which will save you and nothing else. And then what do? They lift up the cross of the Lord Jesus. They drop it into its socket, and Jesus is lifted up. The Lord Jesus once, a while back, he had said to Nicodemus, a religious man, he had said, and it's recorded in John chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up." And this is the way. What is it saying? It's saying earth is rejecting Jesus Christ. Earth is rejecting the Prince of Life. And also God in heaven has refused Jesus for a period of time. We are told that the sky has become black. This is how the Lord Jesus prepares a place for those who believe in him in heaven. This is how he builds his church. The blood of Jesus Christ running down the cross. And so we must take that and apply that by faith to the doorpost of our hearts. Is he yours? Have you trusted in this Son of God who suffered in this way? He shows his mercy in the way that he was crucified. He was rejected by the world, but his hands are stretched out wide on that cross from east to west, stretching to every sinner and saying to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, how awful it is for those who do not come to this bleeding Savior, this bleeding Christ with open arms. Dear friends, this is the standard. This is the standard of the new covenant of God by his grace. It is bought. The Christian is bought. If you're a child of God, you've been bought by this great price of Christ's blood. Can you say, "Well, yes, he who died on the cross died for me"? Yes, Christ pays and suffers instead of me. Can you say that? So here is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to you? The only way you benefit from the crucifixion is to take Christ and his death by faith. To repent and you see your sin. You see what it has done. And what punishment sin deserves. Many reject him then. They rejected him. Let us not reject him now. God is giving us another day. Another day of grace. Another opportunity, dear friends. Whoever you are, whatever your background has been, however long you have been coming here. They crucified the Lord of glory. And we praise God for that. This is our gospel. Salvation through the bleeding Christ. This is how he wins our hearts. This is how he conquers his enemies. We were once his enemies. We rejected him. We lived in sin. We refused to listen. We were in unbelief. We went our own way and did our own religious activities. But this is how he wins our hearts, when we realize he has died for us. The crucifixion of Christ is like God's flag, God's sign to show that he would receive repentant sinners. So you see this flag every Lord's Day, raised up. Christ receives sinful men. I've told you this before. A true account in Scotland, of a young man. He is a foolish young man. He would not listen to his parents. He rejected what his parents had said to him. He rebels. He leaves. He leaves his home. He goes away and he does all kinds of evil things. He gets into all kinds of troubles. And he's filled with shame. He's brought shame on the family. And he thinks to himself, after years of not seeing his parents, he feels that he's now deserted, he's rejected, he will not be received. But he thinks to himself, maybe there is any hope before he ends it all. And he writes home for the last time. And he writes in this letter, if there is a place, he says to his parents, he says, if there is a place, just I will be passing by. And he says, on that window where my room was, you hang a handkerchief, the white handkerchief. And when I go by, I will see it. And when I see it, I know that there is a room for me. And I've told you this before, but every time it affects me, because it displays the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. So he comes on a train. He comes concerned, worried. He wonders, will there be any room? And he thinks, no, maybe they have all the reasons to reject me. But he comes, still hoping. And as he comes around the corner, what does he see? The whole street is filled with white sheets. The mother had gone, taken all the sheets she could find from every place, not just a handkerchief, but all the bed sheets are all plastering the whole street, showing there is a place. There is a place. Come home, son. And dear friends, this is the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a little handkerchief. It is a great sign displayed. The scripture says, God commendeth his love towards us. God displays, demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is God's handkerchief for sinners. Great display of his love for us. Dear friends, here it is. Do you see it? And maybe also realize here is the free offer of the gospel to poor sinners such as us. God will receive poor sinners. Christ did not suffer in vain, but he's calling you now today. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.